ring, or even a pair of underwear you wear every time you have a date, you've channeled the magic of the talisman. And if you haven't, maybe you want to. A talisman is an object imbued with a beneficial magical property, usually luck or protection. The protective strength of a talisman can come from the symbolic power of its form, or from a charging ritual, or both. Wearing or carrying a talisman allows it to work its magic on you and reminds you of the magic you carry within. Talismans aren't just for witches, either. Endowing objects with meaning beyond their practical use is already part of modern life, but the magical symbolism has become invisible to most of us. A wedding ring, for example, is just a band of metal, but on someone's hand it becomes a signal to society. It's a marker, physical proof of the kind of relationship most of us believe is powerful and sacred. Wearing a wedding ring is not a requirement if you're married, nor is it against the law for you to wear a ring on your fourth finger if you're single. The power of the wedding ring comes from the meaning ascribed by the person wearing it, and their culture. Remember in the film Practical Magic when Sally attempts to explain magic to her romantic interest, the policeman? "Your badge," she says, taking it in her hand. "It's just a star, just another symbol. Your talisman. It can't stop criminals in their tracks, can it? It has power because you believe it does." An object need not have cultural significance to have personal significance, however. Anything you wear or carry can be a talisman, and its symbolism doesn't have to be overt. An heirloom, a long-held favorite item of clothing, or any piece of jewelry you find visually or emotionally appealing can work to boost your confidence, calm your nerves, or remind you to care for yourself. Pick a talisman because it's in your favorite color, or its shape is comforting and familiar, or it symbolizes your interests and desires. You can use something you already own or shop for something new, as long as the piece speaks to you. Classic charms in witchy shapes like stars, crescent moons, cats, and cauldrons can remind you of your dark power, or else you can have a pendant or bracelet custom engraved with a specific word or phrase that keeps you centered. Traditional powers of stones and gems. Amethyst. Healing and protection against negative energy. Moonstone, balance and enhancement of the feminine. Turquoise, grounding emotions and opening the heart. Jade, good luck, fortune and longevity. Opal, amplifying emotions and feelings, especially those of love and passion. Rose quartz, promoting gentleness, peace, and calm. So whether it's your vintage turquoise pendant that makes you feel grounded, your grandmother's pearl ring reminding you that you come from a line of strong women, or that one t-shirt you were wearing when you got an A on a math test, pick a talisman that makes you feel lucky, protected, or powerful. Listen to your intuition. Pick what gives you good vibes, and the rest will follow. The magic works only if you believe it, like Sandra Bullock taught us, and your talisman is a reminder of what you have. Once you've selected a potential talisman, all you need to do is imbue it with a concentrated version of the feeling you want to invoke. The simplest way to charge a talisman is through visualization. Hold the object and focus intensely on an image of yourself at your most happy, fortunate, productive, or loved. But a more effective, and almost certainly more fun, method is to do it for real. This just requires a little creativity. Think of a way to induce a small, pure example of the feeling that you want to endow your talisman with. Take the object with you as you experience this feeling, and when the emotion is at its peak, imagine it as a light streaming out of you and flowing into the item, being held there permanently. Ideas for talisman charging adventures. For happiness, ride a roller coaster, eat a sundae, have an orgasm. For strength, lift a heavy weight, scale a climbing wall, crush something safe to crush, nutshells, tin cans. For serenity, float in water, watch a sunset, pet a dog. For confidence, have an orgasm. Orgasms will work for almost any of these, let's be real. Think creatively and personally. You can do anything that reliably makes you feel happy, peaceful, confident, or whatever experience you want to catch and bottle. When you wear or look at your talisman in the future, you'll remember charging it with the essence of that energy, and you'll be able to feel it again. Like Dumbo with his feather, the ability to fly was in you all along. Go forth with your talisman and let power radiate from you. The Secret Art of Smellomancy. Every year, ladies' magazines from Glamour to Allure to Elle offer tips on how to find your signature scent. BuzzFeed and the Victoria's Secret website offer online quizzes for this, if magazines aren't your thing. Signature scents are cool, of course. If you always wear the same perfume, people in your life probably think of you whenever they smell it. But what if you could use your scent to make you think of you, the best version of you, the you that you need to be at this exact moment? What if you could use your scent to evoke your strengths and skills? This form of magic, we call it smellomancy, draws on the powerful connection between smell and memory. The part of the brain that processes scents and smells, the olfactory bulb, is located near the parts of the brain associated with memories and emotions, the hippocampus and amygdala. And your sense of smell has the unique power to tap into this part of your mental makeup. You can learn to evoke a particular mental state by wearing a scent that you associate with that feeling. Throughout the day, the fragrance will subtly evoke the time you felt most powerful, most attractive, most secure, most unusual. And, like the tiny molecules of your perfume wafting up from your skin and getting stuck in people's noses, you'll project that feeling to everyone you meet. Choose a scent. You don't need expensive perfumes for this. You can find smells that feel right to you without dropping a lot of dough. Many perfume sellers on Etsy are happy to provide samples, and makeup stores or high-end drug stores often will let customers spritz a bunch of fragrances on strips of paper and sniff them. For a more natural option, try bottled essential oils sold at an herb store or an organic market. Or even combine oils and mix your own custom blend. Wherever you find it, make sure the smell speaks to you. Map smells onto feelings. To charge your scent with a specific positive emotion, wear it in situations that are virtually guaranteed to evoke that particular feeling. Wear your comfort smell to watch your favorite show, your confident smell for a test you know you're going to nail, or your strong smell to the gym. Don't jump right into wearing your attractive smell on a date. Instead, first apply it when going out in your favorite outfit with your most complimentary friend. Powerful scents to try. For happiness, frankincense, lemon, and grapefruit. For mental acuity, rosemary, lemon, and jasmine. For strength and vigor, peppermint. For calm and comfort, orange, vanilla, and lavender. For creativity, vanilla and cinnamon. For attractiveness, black licorice, lavender, and pumpkin pie spice. Really? Use your newly charged potion. With different flavors of positive energy bound up in each scent, you can apply your attitude like you apply moisturizer. Spritz on your fragrance whenever you need a boost, and the smell will provide little reminders of the way you want to feel all day. Dapper magic. But guys, you may be saying, I don't want to wear any makeup, unnatural or otherwise, and I prefer a masculine gender presentation. Beauty tips aren't for me. That's cool. All are welcome in the coven, and deliberately calibrating your self-presentation is magic whether you're wearing a skirt or slacks. If you're masculine presenting, which could mean you're a man, a woman who favors a butch look, or somewhere else on the gender spectrum, You can use the magic of paints and potions to influence your self-confidence and the way others perceive you. Biology isn't destiny. Your assigned sex at birth isn't your gender. But identity isn't destiny either. And being masculine of center doesn't prohibit you from dabbling in the magical arts of performed femininity. After all, femininity is always a performance. No one is born knowing how to use makeup. Through exposure to the rituals like mascara application and leg shaving and accessorizing artfully, we figure out what it means to be feminine. We can choose to emulate or subvert femininity. Either way, these rituals can become part of our witchcraft toolkit. If paints and powders aren't your thing, you can harness the power of glamours in plenty of gender non-conforming ways. Consider these options. Use your power colors. Remember when you discovered which colors make you feel relaxed or strong or attractive? Those are by no means just for makeup. Incorporate the colors that evoke your preferred mood through a shirt, a tie, a pocket square, cool socks, a watch band, or even a semi-permanent hair color. Embrace the darkness. Yes, you can wear all black menswear without looking like an undertaker or a hitman. The key is to mix textures. Wear a blazer with a bit of sheen over a soft black sweater, or pair your suit with a vest, shirt, and/or tie that features a subtle black-on-black pattern. Matte shiny black with matte black, smooth with textured. Put the man in talisman. Talismans don't have to be girly jewelry. Anything portable that you can keep on your person is a potential talisman, except something that might get a lot of incidental use, such as a handkerchief. Try turning a solid accessory like a pocket watch, tie clip, key ring, or simple leather cuff into your holder of power. Mix up your smellomancy. Try channeling positive emotions into traditionally masculine fragrances like sandalwood, vetiver, and leather. Don't wear cologne? A nicely scented body wash, deodorant, or shaving cream can store emotional power. A spell to reject pressure to be feminine. Perform this charm to symbolically free yourself from society's expectations and insulate yourself against the demands of others. What you'll need: newspaper, cardboard, or other material to protect work surface, 2 sheets of white paper, a tube of pink or red lipstick, not gloss, organic if you can afford it, a pen with blue, black, or your favorite color ink. As we've shown in this chapter, you can engage with the magic of self-care and self-presentation in plenty of ways without even dipping a toe in femininity. But given the strength of societal pressures to conform, you might want this extra boost. Spread the newspaper over the work surface and place a sheet of paper on top. With the lipstick, write on the paper all the ways you've been pressured to express femininity. Include any hurtful things people have said to you for not being a girl or not being more girly. Don't be dainty. Scrawl. Make a mess. Press hard. Don't worry if you go off the edges of the paper. That's what the newspaper is for. Use the entire tube, but save the container. Then fold the paper 7 times and bury it under a bush or tree, in a flower pot, or, if necessary, among organic waste, such as vegetable peels, in your trash can. As the paper breaks down, those burdens will feed beauty, just not yours. Yours comes from somewhere else. On the 2nd sheet of paper, use the pen to write all the ways in which you want to be seen. List what makes you feel valuable, successful, attractive, and loved. Fold the paper 3 times, roll it into a tube, and slide it into the empty lipstick container. Sleep with the container under your pillow for 3 nights. Lotions and potions. Even if you've never picked up an eyeliner pencil and never will, you can tap into the power of glamours by helping your skin look its best. Try these makeup-free beauty rituals to feel more grounded, happy, protected, and at home in your body. Sunscreen for protection. Apply sunscreen or a sun-protecting moisturizer or BB cream daily. Picture the sunscreen creating a bubble of safety, shielding you from casual damage or danger. Sheet masks for transfiguration. Ordinary versions of these facial masks make the wearer look like a freaky ghost or mummy, but now you can get ones that are printed with the image of a panda, tiger, dragon, or even Cleopatra. Use them to soothe and moisturize your face while also getting in touch with your inner animal, or Queen of Ancient Egypt. Moisturizer for manifestation. Hydrating lotion that has a pleasant scent is a treat for the senses, and using it is an excellent way to feel strong and secure in your body. Apply it slowly, taking time to appreciate every part of your body as both a source and receiver of appealing touch, looks, and fragrance. A smooth lotion or oil works best. Occlusives like Vaseline are too thick. Cleanser for tabula rasa. It sounds like a marketing campaign, but washing your face before bed truly can feel like rinsing away the stresses of the day. Cleansing your face doesn't have to be a multi-step process with toner and serum and whatnot, but let it be a conscious, meditative experience of renewal rather than a perfunctory habit you do on autopilot simply so you don't get zits. Shaving or not shaving for conviction. The question of whether women should remove hair and how much and from where is a vexing one. The two of us can't, and don't want to, tell you that you must shave your armpits or wax your mustache. But we can't, and don't want to, tell you that you must not do it either. Letting your body hair grow free could feel like the epitome of unruliness, like giving a little up yours to society that wants us polished and pristine. But perhaps the unruliest option of all is to throw away notions of what you should do and instead do whatever makes you feel best. That might mean removing hair, letting it grow, or removing it only from the places where you don't like it. If you remove some, use the time you spend doing so as an opportunity to consciously reflect on how you want your body to look and feel. And if you don't remove hair, take a moment every so often to revel in its lushness and texture. Appreciating your hair or smooth skin, rather than reacting to other people's expectations, will allow you to feel the strength of your own beliefs glowing inside you. When picking products, don't be afraid to splurge. Using fancy moisturizers or face masks containing ingredients like gold or pearl will allow you to envision yourself as valuable. No need to break the bank, though. Affordable, natural skincare products can root you in the nurturing power of the earth. Try the appropriately named witch hazel as toner, sweet almond oil as a face cleanser, grapeseed extract to fight wrinkles, tea tree oil or grapefruit seed extract to treat acne, and coconut oil for literally anything. Makeup remover, body moisturizer, hair mask. Consider decanting skincare products into beautiful witchy jars and bottles to transform your bathroom into an arcane apothecary. A spell for self-care. This quick, gender-neutral ritual charges up your preferred moisturizer, sunscreen, aftershave, or other personal care product. Even deodorant, if you like. What you'll need: any kind of daily or regular use product, a blank white sticker or mailing label, a pen. Find a quiet, safe place with no distractions. Close your eyes and envision the version of yourself that feels most handsome, beautiful, or vibrant, however you like to feel. This could be realistic or not. If you feel best as a lizard person in Renaissance garb, we won't judge. Picture your ideal self placing your hands together and a glow emanating from between them. Then, in your vision, Open your hands and see that the glow surrounds a symbol, a simple combination of circles and lines. This symbol represents your ideal self. Open your eyes and draw the symbol you envisioned on your sticker. Affix the sticker to your bottle of moisturizer, sunscreen, or other product, imagining the glow you previously envisioned coming from your hands, now permeating its contents. Your product is now charged with the essence of whatever makes you feel strong and attractive. Every time you use it, picture that glow and know that you're invoking the power and protection of your ideal self. The spell will last until you finish the product. Chapter 3. Healing. The power to care for yourself. Taking care of yourself is not a revolutionary concept. But for many women nowadays, even the loving, sustaining maintenance of our own bodies is something we do for others. In our quest for the perfect waistline, the most glowing skin, or the best runkeeper scores on Facebook, we prioritize looking healthy to others over genuinely feeling good. But when you divorce the pursuit of personal well-being from feelings of obligation and privation, self-care becomes something bigger than self-indulgence, and the pursuit of health goes from exhausting vigilance to invigorating celebration, which is pretty magical. The brewing and stewing of so-called witches of the past probably was not for summoning demons or enchanting unsuspecting lay folk to do their bidding. They likely were trying to keep each other healthy, and this tradition of healing and female-driven folk medicine may be where we get the myth of women's intuition. Barred from formal medical or scientific training, female healers spread knowledge of cures and remedies to other women. Nowadays, we might dismiss this kind of homespun advice as innocuous old wives' tales or home remedies, but squint, and it definitely resembles witchcraft. A potion of garden herbs that soothes contraction pains, a tea that stops an unbearable headache, and the intuition to give your body what it needs. For a witch, listening to your body is the most important aspect of health and self-care, certainly more important than trying to whittle it into the perfect shape. Drowning out the whispering, or shouting, of a whole culture isn't easy. So when the noise gets to be too much, think about one of the healers of old, before the suspicion, before the witchcraft accusations, when she was just a woman with the skills and desire to help other women feel better. An intuitive woman, a traveling midwife, a woman wise in the body's ways. She wants you to be healthy. She will work to make it so. You can follow her. In this chapter, we'll discuss how to use your powers to take care of yourself, whether that means accepting your body, finding exercises that make you feel invincible, or embracing the healing power of watching Netflix. Because sometimes, that's the wisest thing you can do. The Witch's Pantry. How to Cure What Ails You. We're fans of modern Western medicine. From vaccines to pap smears to intrauterine devices, the products of medical research and empirical studies have made many lives better and longer and improved public health overall. Needless to say, we hope you seek professional medical help when you're sick or think you might be sick, as well as for regular maintenance procedures like pelvic exams and management of any long-term conditions. But as much as it has improved health generally, our medical culture doesn't work for everyone. Folks whose bodies or relationships to their bodies differ from the average, people who are very thin or even a little bit fat, people with disabilities or chronic illnesses, transgender people, and so forth, can feel especially unwelcome, unnerved, and misunderstood at doctors' offices. And though many physicians are kind, compassionate, and caring, medical schools and our healthcare system don't always reward or encourage those traits. Plus, doctors can be overworked and inattentive just like other humans. Even when modern medicines work, sometimes side effects can be more debilitating than the original ailment or lead to a game of catch-up. For example, our friend Nicole told her doctor she didn't want to take a birth control pill because it made her depressed. So the doctor prescribed her an antidepressant. Had she complained of gaining weight on that antidepressant, she might have found herself with a prescription for Topamax, a migraine medication that is often prescribed to combat antidepressant-related weight gain. When you're taking pills to deal with the problems caused by pills you take to deal with the problems caused by pills, and you're not managing any kind of chronic or serious illness, it might be time to step back and get some perspective. Making use of our modern medical establishment whenever needed is important, but it's also nice to treat milder symptoms the way wise woman healers might have done. Here's a tiny pharmacopoeia of herbs and home remedies for when you're a touch under the weather. Aloe vera. An aloe plant is an even better kitchen multitasker than your combination grater slicer microplane. This spiky succulent will look cute on your windowsill, and when disaster strikes, you can immediately break off a leaf and apply the juice to salve a burn or soothe a minor skin irritation. What's witchier than making a poultice out of your houseplant? Aloe is a good moisturizer, too. Ginger and peppermint. As tea, in candy, as essential oils, or in other preparations, ginger and peppermint have been shown to reduce nausea, even as a result of morning sickness, ginger, and irritable bowel syndrome, peppermint. Ginger is a more effective seasickness remedy than homeopathic spray, wristbands, electric shocks on acupressure points, or a placebo. Mythbusters confirmed it. Cayenne. Once when Jess had a sinus infection, her boyfriend's mom made her snort a pinch of cayenne pepper. It hurt like hell, but also kinda worked. Instead of snorting it, we recommend adding cayenne to your tea when you have a cold to fight congestion, or combining cayenne, olive oil, and beeswax to make an analgesic salve. The capsaicin in the pepper reduces pain. Green tea. No, it probably doesn't prevent cancer or grant you the power to live to 120 years old or whatever, but green tea does have tons of antioxidant compounds called flavonoids, which can prevent cell damage and fight disease. Plus, a hot, healthful drink will leave you feeling alert, relaxed, and happy. Taking a few minutes to make a proper cup of tea, any kind, definitely counts as magical self-care. Witch hazel and tea tree oil. Witch hazel, which is widely available in drugstores, can be used as an astringent and toner to clean skin and prevent acne, and it might soothe itchy bug bites. Tea tree oil may help prevent acne too, and take the edge off of bee stings. Sometimes witch hazel is used for more serious skin problems like eczema and psoriasis, and tea tree oil is sometimes recommended as an antifungal. As long as you're cautious, do not, for instance, take tea tree oil internally, and willing to opt for a different remedy if things get worse, they might help and pose very little chance of harm. Turmeric. Sprinkle this anti-inflammatory spice in tea, or mix it with plain yogurt and a little honey and apply it as a face mask. Just don't leave it on your skin for too long, and definitely don't put it in a bath, unless you want to spend the rest of your life scrubbing an intense yellow stain off your face or tub. Though, if you do, lemon juice can help remove the discoloration. Also, according to Jaya's grandmother, warm milk with turmeric and a good night's sleep will cure any sickness you feel coming on. And Jaya's grandmother knows everything. If you're combining herbal remedies with conventional medicine, double-check with your doctor or pharmacist about potential serious side effects. For example, St. John's wort, which has some clinical support as a natural treatment for depression, can also reduce the effectiveness of prescription medications, including birth control pills. If your chosen herb is considered safe for you, the worst that can happen is nothing. And even if it does nothing, Sometimes choosing to treat what's bothering you is enough to make you feel better on its own. A spell to feel comfortable seeing a doctor. Doctors can be intimidating, clinics can feel icky, and speaking up for yourself can be hard if you feel uncomfortable. This ritual draws out the part of you that is capable of confident self-advocacy. What you'll need: a small toy, stuffed animal, or figurine. Choose a stuffed animal, toy, action figure, or similar object that's small enough to fit in your purse, or, if you don't carry one, your pocket. With your finger, draw a caduceus, that twisted snake's emblem that indicates medicine, on the toy. Imagine light trailing your finger as you draw. The toy is now your medical advocate. It wants you to feel healthy, but not at the expense of your emotional and mental stability. If you're uncomfortable or confused, or if you disagree with something the doctor is telling you, it will speak up for you. But because it is a toy, you'll have to speak on its behalf using your own words. Bring your advocate with you to the appointment. It doesn't have to leave your purse or pocket. When the doctor tells you something, check in silently with your advocate. Did that make sense, or was it confusing? Is the doctor listening to me or ignoring me? Is the way they're speaking to me respectful and kind, or brusque and dismissive? Do I feel welcome in this office? Does my gender appear correctly on the intake form? Are there blood pressure cuffs that fit my arm? If at any point your advocate thinks your doctor is being too opaque, it will give you permission to ask for a clearer explanation. If your advocate thinks your doctor is wrong, it will give you permission to seek a second opinion. And if your advocate thinks you're being treated badly, it will give you permission to leave. Remember, it wants you to be healthy, but it will also stick up for you, even if you're too scared. Once your advocate gives you permission to do something, you can do it without fear, because you know you have a backup. If you do need to leave, though, please tell the doctor, "I don't feel comfortable with how you're treating me, and I'm going to leave now." And not, "I'm taking advice from my capacity for confident self-advocacy, which I have projected into the Superman figurine." That could have unforeseen consequences. Witch history. Witches versus doctors. "The healing and harmless witch must die," wrote William Perkins in his 1618 witch hunting tome, Discourse of the Damned Art of Witchcraft. "Besides those who kill and torment," he said, "the righteous should seek to punish all good witches which do no hurt but good, which do not spoil and destroy, but save and deliver." He drops the mic with the image of a harmless healer being put to death. "Death, therefore, is the just and deserved portion of the good witch." According to Perkins, healer witches were dangerous precisely because they were so beloved and vital. They performed a much-needed service for the community, and that distracted people from the fact that all witches had made a pact with the devil. How could you tell they'd made a pact with the devil? Why, because they possessed healing powers, of course. The real source of their power was probably less satanic covenant and more actual knowledge. In Witches, Midwives, and Nurses, historians Barbara Ehrenreich and Deirdre English write that in ancient and medieval Europe, wise women were crucial, valued, beloved contributors to society who refined and administered effective folk remedies, including birthing, contraception, and abortions, for centuries, with no issue. But once medicine became an exclusive men-only academic profession around the 13th century, healer women were suddenly shunned as maligned satanic influences. The situation was a classic patriarchal double bind. Women could be dragged to court for practicing medicine without having studied it, but they were also prohibited from studying medicine. Not that studying made you a more effective healer back then. Quite the opposite, in fact. Where the wise women based their remedies in empirical observation, medieval universities taught based on theology and ancient texts. What worked was what Aristotle said worked hundreds of years ago, not techniques you'd effectively used to cure sick people. Here's a typical witch remedy, according to Ehrenreich and English. Belladonna, still used today as an antispasmodic, was used by the witch healers to inhibit uterine contractions when miscarriage threatened. Here's one from the schools. A frequent treatment for leprosy was a broth made of the flesh of a black snake caught in a dry land among stones. But sure, fellas, your medicine sounds very special and good, and not like magic at all. These days, women are much better represented in academic medicine. A third of doctors and nearly half of medical students are women. But the Western medical establishment still sneers at folk remedies and midwifery. And yet, empirical observation, so prized by today's physicians and scientists, has long been a hallmark of these hands-on traditions. Noticing what works for which ailments is just the good old scientific method. Studies have found that, for healthy mothers, midwife-assisted births are less risky in several ways, and many alternative medicines have been shown to be effective, even if only as placebos. Is it too much to hope that folk traditions and established medical practices could be used together to keep people healthy? Maybe we should just be celebrating that healing witches are no longer being put to death, which is definitely not a healthy decision. A spell to accept compliments. This spell will help you cultivate the confidence to be confident and believe in the radical power of your beauty. Perform it for your peace of mind or just to freak people out. Both valid reasons. What you'll need: a handheld mirror. Larger is better, but a compact is fine. A list of positive things about your face and body, written by a friend, partner, family member, or multiple people. In 2015, 20-year-old Claire Boniface performed a social experiment. Whenever a man sent her a compliment on a dating website, she'd agree with it. The results were swift and startling. Men instantly retracted or reversed the compliments as soon as she accepted them. Here's a representative case. "Well, you're bloody cute, aren't ya?" says an unnamed man. "Yes," says Boniface. "Not really," he snaps back. When she shared the results on her Tumblr, the post went viral, and other women recreated the experiment to much the same results. Gaining or regaining control over your self-confidence isn't easy. It feels almost out of your hands. Patriarchal culture needs women to stay anxious, on edge, and constantly seeking approval, and grants the power to give that approval to men only. But Boniface has given us words of power. "Yes, I am. Thank you, I know." This spell builds on those simple positive statements and can help incorporate loving, or not hating, baby steps, your looks as a powerful part of your witchcraft practice. Go outside on a clear day when the sun is high, ideally sometime between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. Choose a quiet and peaceful outdoor spot where you feel at ease and where you'll be relatively alone. If you live in a city, don't worry. People being a bit weird in public parks usually get a wide berth. Find a spot to sit, or remain standing if you prefer. Hold up the mirror with its non-reflective surface toward you and its reflective surface toward the sun so that your face is in shadow. Say the first compliment on the list out loud. For instance, "You have beautiful eyes." You can say it under your breath if there are people around. Slowly lower the mirror, turning it so that it reflects the light of the sun back up toward your face. Don't look in the mirror. Just feel the light reflected on your skin. Repeat the compliment, but this time in your own words. "I have beautiful eyes." As you say it, concentrate on the warmth of the sun. Imagine yourself soaking up the praise the way your skin soaks up warmth. Repeat for each positive trait on the list. When you've completed the list, repeat the following three times. I will not deflect. I will reflect. For the next 2 weeks, whenever you get a genuine compliment, lift and then lower your arm as if moving the mirror, if you are in private, or picture yourself making that motion, if you are in public. Imagine your skin feeling the warmth of the sun and bask in the warmth of the praise. And then say, thank you. A spell to make peace with your body. This spell combines various traditions of symbolic representation to foster an intuitive approach to repairing your relationship with your body. What you'll need: modeling clay, a pen or pencil, a sheet of paper, a sharp tool, such as an X-Acto knife or toothpick. The pin-filled, people-shaped pillows that Western society knows as voodoo dolls don't have much to do with the Haitian religious magical practice of vodou. But using little effigies for magic is a long-standing practice. Witches in Europe were regularly accused of working malign spells using figures made of wax or cloth, and the ancient Egyptians would fill their tombs with small models of the servants, animals, and amenities they wanted to bring into the afterlife. In the case of this spell, you'll be pouring the magic into a figure that represents you. Using the modeling clay, build a figure that represents the ideal body you've always thought you should have. You can use Play-Doh, Sculpey, or homemade salt dough made with 1 part salt, 2 parts water, and 4 parts flour. As you build, think about all the things you've denied yourself or thought you didn't deserve because of how your body looks. Think of all the things you would have done if you'd had a perfect body. Close your eyes and smash the figure in your hands. Then start rolling it into a ball between your palms, keeping your eyes closed, and picture the ball beginning to glow with a concentrated essence of perfection and potential. Hold it out in front of you and picture it glowing brighter and brighter. On the face of the ball, imagine a symbol taking form. Open your eyes and draw that symbol on the paper so you don't forget it. If you don't see a symbol, just draw whatever comes into your head when you first open your eyes. This represents your ideal body, a body that can do whatever it wants. Remodel the clay into a figure that looks like you, your actual body, the way it is today. Don't exaggerate, but also don't flatter. Make it as detailed and realistic as possible. As you build, think again about what you would have done if you'd had a perfect body. Imagine yourself doing those things right now, with the body you have. On every part of the figure that you dislike on your real body, use the sharp tool to draw the symbol you saw. Anoint every one of those parts with the symbol of perfection and potential, recognizing that you are capable as you are. You can use this incantation to focus your thoughts. Only I can stop me, and I refuse to stop me. This is my body. This is a perfect body. Place the figure on top of, beneath, or near a mirror you use regularly. Leave it there for a week. Before each time you look in the mirror, touch the figure and imagine it glowing again. Kitchen witchery. Nourish your body and mind with food spells. Chances are, if you're like most people, you practice a certain type of magic every day, several times a day. You apply forces to change the shape and texture of things. You fashion something new out of raw ingredients, sometimes with the aid of a literal bubbling cauldron. And, eventually, you digest it and use it to create a new self. Yes, cooking is magic, even if all you did was microwave a frozen burrito. Cooking doesn't come naturally to everyone, but no matter how simple or complicated your kitchen witching is, you can apply magic to it. Even if you're making something as simple as microwave popcorn for a friend, you can think about the good things in your friendship becoming even better with each pop. And voila! Magic. Whatever energy you give off is absorbed by the food, and then by whoever eats it. The effect may not be as immediate as in that terrible movie Simply Irresistible, where Sarah Michelle Gellar plays a witch who infuses emotion into her food. Seriously, there's a magic crab in it, or something. But there's no denying that food affects our feelings. You can craft your kitchen adventures around specific ingredients, too, whether you use foods that are believed to have specific semi-magical properties, like the purported aphrodisiac effects of oysters, chocolate, pomegranates, and asparagus, or ordinary ingredients. Honey promotes love and wisdom. Garlic is used for health and protection. Dill is a powerful herb for intensifying whatever spell you're already using. And if you want your problems to disappear, imagine chipping away at them as you eat blueberries, one by one. For even more complex and potent food magic, try these recipes. No magic crab needed. If you want to chill out, make warm milk with honey. Jaya's dad made this for her as a kid when she couldn't sleep. To this day, it has a calming effect. Also, honey is a natural antiseptic. Dab it on cuts or zits for healing power. Fill a mug with your favorite kind of milk and then pour it into a small saucepan. Add a tablespoon of honey and place it over low heat, stirring often so the honey dissolves. When it reaches a simmer, remove from heat and pour the milk back into the mug. Next, sit wherever you plan to drink your beverage and hold the mug in both hands, feeling the warmth begin to radiate up your arms. Look into the milk and recite the following. Let my mind be calm, my nerves quiet, muscles smooth as silk. Let my body fill up with warmth and peace from this honey and milk. If you want to nurture a friendship, make hot chocolate. Milk chocolate has nurturing power, especially when it comes to friendship. Also, it's milk chocolate, so we probably don't have to sell you on it. Unless you're allergic, in which case, please don't make yourself sick for the sake of a spell. You can share milk chocolate with a friend in lots of ways, like buying a bar and eating it together. However, hot chocolate has the potential to enhance the bonding, especially if the weather is cold and warm blankets are involved. First, grate a bar of milk chocolate until you have about 2 ounces, about a half cup, of grated chocolate. You can add some dark chocolate if you like, but for maximum potency, use mostly milk. Next, warm 2 cups of milk in a small saucepan, aka your cauldron, over medium heat. When the milk reaches a simmer, reduce the heat to low, add 1 teaspoon of brown sugar, and stir until it dissolves. Now sprinkle the grated chocolate into the milk mixture and stir while visualizing yourself and your friend. A particularly meaningful conversation you've had, a fond memory of a fun shared experience, or just all the things you like about the person. If you're making the hot chocolate together, say these things out loud. When the chocolate is dissolved, add a pinch of salt, both for spiritual cleansing and because it strengthens the chocolate flavor. As you add the salt, speak or think this incantation. Friends for now, friends forever. May the elements tie us together. If you want to attract a lover, make baked apples with cinnamon. You know what's warm, comforting, and a little tingly and spicy? Cinnamon. You know what else fits that description? The feeling of having a new crush. Maybe that's why the spice is associated with fire and the sun and is used often in spells to draw love. Apples, too, are used for love, partially because of their connotation as the sexy forbidden fruit. The actual forbidden fruit of the Bible was probably closer to a pomegranate, but those don't work as well with cinnamon. This spell works especially well if you have access to an open fire, such as in a fireplace or at a backyard bonfire gathering of your coven. If not, you can make it in the oven, though there's less space for wild dancing in your kitchen. In a small bowl, combine 1/4 teaspoon of cinnamon and 1 tablespoon of brown sugar. Core an apple, A sturdy tart one works best, like Granny Smith or Fuji. And fill the core with the cinnamon mixture. Wrap the apple in tinfoil and place it in the embers of a fire to cook for about 7 minutes. If you don't have an open fire, preheat an oven to 350 degrees Fahrenheit, place the stuffed apple in an oven-proof dish, and bake for 15 minutes. As the apple cooks, stare into the embers, or close your eyes if you're baking in an oven, and picture your crush. Envision that the warmth currently radiating onto you is radiating onto them, filling them with the fire you feel within, and making them aware that it's coming from you. Carefully remove the apple from the fire or oven, and let it cool for around 3 minutes, or until cool enough to handle. Sit cross-legged on the ground, or floor, and hold the apple with both hands. Eat it as messily as you can, grunt and hum as you chew, and let the sugar and cinnamon dribble down your hands. Let yourself feel wild and magnetic. And the next time you see your crush, remember just how carnal you were in this moment. If you want boundless energy, make banana ice cream. With the power of electricity and sharp knives, you can transform fruit into a one-ingredient soft-serve ice cream. Bananas are associated with heroic energy and protection, as are blenders. Yes, witches have given power to blenders. So, make this to motivate yourself to achieve greatness. Slice 2 bananas, place them in a zip-top freezer bag, and seal the bag. Freeze until bananas are very firm, probably overnight. In a food processor or blender, blend the frozen banana slices for 3 to 5 minutes until the texture resembles soft-serve ice cream. While plain bananas are delicious, you can further enhance the power of this dessert with flavorings. Chopped cherries for love, honey for happiness, or coconut for mental flexibility. If you want beauty, make guacamole. The avocado is a very femme fruit, associated with Venus and the element of water, both of which make it useful in spells pertaining to love and beauty. It has non-magical beautifying qualities, too. Its high fat content makes for a great natural face or hair mask. But by enchanting the fruit and ingesting it, you can fill yourself up with that beautifying power to make you feel as pretty and charming as you already are. Start by enchanting the avocado. Slice it in half while saying what you want to happen, such as, "I want to feel radiant," or "I want others to notice how beautiful I know I am." Remove and reserve the pit, then slice the avocado flesh in the skin and spoon the flesh from the skin into a bowl. Add 1/2 of a freshly chopped tomato, seeds and juices removed, 1 minced serrano chili, 2 tablespoons minced red onion, 1 tablespoon fresh lime juice, 1 tablespoon chopped cilantro, and salt and pepper to taste. Mix with a fork while repeating your enchantment, and eat with whatever chips make you feel like a babe. When you've finished the guac, wash and dry the pit and carry it with you for a week to keep the gorgeous vibes going. If all this symbolism and emotion isn't quite your style, you can simply think of cooking as a form of therapeutic creation. You start with nothing, and, by solving one problem at a time, wind up with something beautiful, or delicious, or maybe just edible. No matter how it turns out, you've brought something new into the world. Magical exercise. How to become one fit witch. Exercise can, and should, be a way of taking care of yourself. Physical activity not only gets your body strong and limber, but also helps your brain combat depression and anxiety. But it might not feel that way if your exercise routine consists solely of joyless hours spent trudging on the treadmill. Too often, we treat exercise like a boring, slightly bitter-tasting medicine that's supposed to make us feel better afterward. A spoonful of sugar may help actual medicine go down, but it's not the greatest incentive for exercise. What if instead you bribed yourself with a spoonful of swords? Okay, you are not literally going to swallow swords. That's a whole other thing. But you can learn how to brandish them. If you're bored with your everyday workout, consider picking up an unconventional physical activity, especially one that teaches you some unruly woman skills. Like alchemy, the exertion and the new skill training combine to make your exercise routine enjoyable. Here are a few ideas, appropriate for a few different levels of physical ability, for workouts that will not only energize your body and mind, but also leave you with new witchy skills. Swordplay. If you dream of being not only a sorceress, but a magic-wielding warrior, look for classes in fencing, kendo, or even longsword. Google historical European martial arts, plus your city or town. Be prepared. You're in for some heavy-duty bruising once you start to spar. But if you're the kind of person who likes hitting other people with swords, you'll probably love it. Jess is the kind of person who likes hitting other people with swords and is confident about this point. Dance. Any kind of dance will help you feel graceful and at home in your body, not to mention more confident at midnight coven boogies in the moonlit woods. Jess does belly dance, which is great for proprioception and bodily control because you learn to isolate different muscle groups. Jaya does pole dance, which increases strength and flexibility, as well as sexiness. But maybe you want to do flamenco, hip-hop, or salsa. Lots of dance styles can increase power and grace, and many are appropriate for a range of skill levels and physical capabilities. Contact juggling. If you've seen David Bowie in Labyrinth rolling a crystal ball between his hands in a way that's almost as magical and mesmerizing as his tight pants, you're familiar with contact juggling. It's the sport of choice for crystal gazers and goblin kings alike. Also, you can juggle and jog, which is known as joggling. Not making that up. Aerials. You're a witch, so why not learn to fly? Aerials, tricks and artistry on equipment like trapeze and hanging silks, is a physically demanding pursuit, like a cross between ballet and rock climbing. But you don't have to be a stunning athlete to try it. You just need a lot of determination. Jess has a friend who made a New Year's resolution to be able to do one single pull-up, and by the end of the year, she had started taking an aerials class. 2 years later, she was performing. And, yeah, she could do a pull-up. But more importantly, she could hold herself in the air on a trapeze. Quidditch. Until we can fly around on broomsticks, the next best thing may be a sport in which people run around with broomsticks between their legs, pretending to fly. Quidditch, of course, comes from the world of Harry Potter, where it involves flying and magic. But there are real-world leagues, too, which rely on the magic of imagination and endorphins. And real athletic prowess. The U.S. Quidditch website describes the sport as a combination of rugby, dodgeball, and tag. Playing Quidditch may not teach you to ride a broomstick, but it offers ample training in another important witch skill. Not giving a shit if other people think you look ridiculous. Check out www.usquidditch.org to find a team near you. Shuffleboard. Nowadays, we may think of shuffleboard as a sport reserved for grandpas, but it has a rebellious, witchy history, plus it offers a pretty good shoulder workout. According to one of her descendants, Bridget Bishop, who was accused of witchcraft in Salem, Massachusetts, was an outspoken woman who spent a lot of time hanging out with sailors in her tavern. As if that weren't bad enough, she had the audacity to entertain people in her house at unseasonable hours in the night to keep drinking and playing at shuffleboard, whereby discord did arise in other families, and young people were in danger to be corrupted, according to Paul Boyer and Stephen Nissenbaum in Salem Possessed. For witch calisthenics, please go to the bonus PDF. A ritual for a relaxing Netflix binge. Witches are allowed to relax, and watching endless episodes of TV is a fine way to do it. Use this ritual to help cast off your guilt and give yourself permission to go deep. What you'll need: the biggest blanket you can find, your favorite snack, your favorite streaming service,